Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Amy Horowitz, and today we are studying Yishayahu Perek Chaf Dalid. Our perek begins, Hinei Hashem bokek haaretz uvolka, ve'iva paneha vehefitz yoshveha. Behold, Hashem will strip the earth bare and lay it waste, and twist its surface and scatter its inhabitants. The subject of the nevuah in the first part of this perek seems to be up for debate. Is it a nevuah of punishment for Malchut Yisrael, foretelling the Galut Eser Shvatim, the exile of the 10 northern tribes? Or is it directed towards the nations of the world and the punishment they will experience when Mashiach comes? Let's consider both options. Abarbanel believes that this nevuah, in fact the entire perek, is a nevuah about all the nations of the world. God is telling the nations, in contrast to how easy he went on Tzor from our previous perek, there will come a time when the whole earth lays bare and wasted, its inhabitants scattered. In particular, Abarbanel feels that this nevuah refers to the havoc that the Babylonian Empire will wreak on all the nations of the Middle East, including not only Israel, but Ammon, Moab, Phoenicia, and Egypt, among others. This first pasuk, says the Abarbanel, demonstrates the chaos and upheaval that Bavel will cause, distorting the formerly wealthy and honored members of society into confused and scared refugees. All the wealth and honor in the world will make no difference, since the enemy will treat everyone the same. This is the meaning of the next pasuk. V'haya ke'am ka'kohen, ke'eved ka'adonav, ka'shivcha ki'gvirta, ka'kone ka'mocher, ka'melave ka'love, ka'noshe ka'asher nosebo. The layman and priest will fare alike, slave and master, handmaid and mistress, buyer and seller, lender and borrower, creditor and debtor. The Babylonian army will not check your credentials before destroying your home and sending you into exile. Status and wealth won't matter. Abarbanel supports his opinion that this nevuah is universal and not just limited to the 10 tribes of Malchut Yisrael from the wording of Pasuk Dalid. Avla navla haaretz umlala navla tevel umlalu merom am haaretz. The land has mourned, it has withered, the land has been humbled and withered, the highest of the people of the land have been humbled. The word tevel used in Pasuk Dalid means the whole world, the universe itself, will be humbled and withered. But why will God bring this massive destruction on the entire earth? What crime can every nation of the world have possibly committed? The answer to this question is offered in Pasuk Hey. V'ha'aretz chanfa tachat yoshveha, ki avru torot, chalfu chok, heferu brit olam. The earth was defiled by its inhabitants, because they transgressed teachings, violated laws, and broke the ancient covenant. There are three sins that have made God angry with the entire world. 1. Avru Torot. They have violated Torot, the teachings of their societies. They have failed to keep the social contract and have perpetrated injustice in their cities and communities. 2. Chalfu Chok. They have overturned laws. This is a reference to the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, which the nations of the world have not been careful to observe. 3. Heferu Brit Olam. The reason man was created was to recognize and acknowledge the oneness of God and serve Hashem alone. This is the ancient Brit that God made with humanity. The nations of the world have not recognized Hashem, but continue to serve their idols and gods. This undermines the whole purpose of creation. The Abarbanel also suggests another possibility for the Brit that the nations of the world have violated. Most of the nations that Hashem is angry with are related to Bnei Yisrael. Ammon and Moab through Lot, Edom through Esav, Yishmael through Avraham. Generally, brothers look out for each other. They go out of their way to help one another, even when they shouldn't. These brothers of the Jewish people violated that implicit covenant of brotherhood by oppressing and enslaving the Jewish people at various times. For this, too, they deserve punishment. And those sins that they committed will cause all these nations to suffer. The Psukim describe the punishment. The earth will be cursed. The number of inhabitants of the world will dwindle from war and from plague. Those who were once happy will sigh. Pasuk Tet describes, Bashir lo yishtu yayin, yemar shechar lishotav. They drink their wine without song. Their drink tastes bitter to the drinker. Using wine as the example, the Pasuk states that everything that was once sweet will now taste bitter. In the same vein, Pasuk Yud describes a ghost town. Nishbera kiryat tohu, sugar kol bayit mibo. Towns are broken, empty. Every house is shut. No one enters. Tohu, the same word used to describe the void that was before God began to create the world, now describes the cities and towns once full of music and merriment, sugar, shut down. This desolation can't be a prophecy about the 10 lost tribes, says the Abarbanel. Pasuk Yud Gimel compares the desolate nations to Kenokef Zayit Ka'olelot Im Kalabatsir, to when the olive tree is beaten out, like gleanings when the vintage is over. Abarbanel explains that this is like someone who shakes the olive branch that has already been cleared of olives, to see whether there might be one or two olives left behind on the branch. This is comparing the devastated nations to a field that has already been gleaned, with merely scraps of wheat remaining. This is what will happen to these formerly mighty empires. They will be reduced to scraps, shadows of their former selves. Malbim, among others, however, disagrees. He interprets the same nevuah, these same psukim, as a prophecy about the Galut Aser Shvatim, the 10 lost tribes. Let's see how he interprets the psukim starting back in Pasuk Aleph. Hine Hashem bokek haaretz uvolka ve'iva paneha ve'hefitz yoshveha. God will strip the earth bare and lay it waste and twist its surface and scatter its inhabitants. Malbim explains that this pasuk describes four stages of conquest of Malchut Yisrael by Assyrian king Sancheiriv. First, he will bokek haaretz. He will strip the land of its fruits and crops, meaning the Jewish people's money. Next, uvolka, he will render those crops hefker, ownerless, meaning he will distribute their money around meaninglessly, to nobody in particular. Then, ve'iva paneha, he will destroy the land itself. And finally, ve'hefitz yoshveha, he will disperse its inhabitants by exiling them from their land. And as we read before, v'haya ka'am ka'kohen, ka'eved ka'adonav, ka'shivcha ki'gvirta, ka'kone ka'mocher, ka'malave ka'love, ka'noshe ka'asher nosebo. The layman and priest shall fare alike, slave and master, handmaid and mistress, buyer and seller, lender, borrower, creditor, and debtor. The Assyrians will pay no heed to status or money. Kohanim will get no special treatment. They too will be exiled. Landowners will not be able to take their land with them into exile. And, as he already explained in Pasuk Aleph, Sancheiriv will strip the wealthy of their money. They will all go into exile the same way, degraded and empty-handed. When it comes to Pasuk Dalid, Malbim suggests that the Navi is prophesizing about the stages of destruction of the northern kingdom. Avla navla haaretz umlala navla tevel. The land has mourned, it has withered, the land has been humbled and withered. Umlalu miromam haaretz, the highest of people of the land have been humbled. Avla navla haaretz refers to the ruin of the unsettled land. This land, mourning its loss of visitors and travelers, will wither from neglect. Umlala navla tevel refers to the emptying of the cities and settlements, all of their inhabitants sent into exile. Umlalu meromam haaretz refers to the destruction of the capital city and palace and the exile of the officers and members of the court. This three-step process of conquering the northern kingdom could also refer specifically, says the Malbim, to the three early stages of conquest achieved by Sancheiriv. First, his conquest of Eretz Gilad, the area of Transjordan settled by the tribes of Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh. Second, his conquest of the territory of Zevulun, and third, his conquest of the land of Naphtali. These three stages preceded the final and decisive conquest of the whole kingdom. Just like the Abarbanel interpreted Pasuk He as an explanation of why punishment was due the nations of the world, the Malbim interprets it as an explanation of why punishment was due the 10 tribes, for committing the following three transgressions. Avru Torot, they violated God's Torah and the words of the Nevi'im. Chalfu Chok, they ignored the commonly held values of right and wrong, and Heferu Brit Olam, they undermined the basic social contract and committed sins like murder and theft. Al Kain Allah Achla Eretz, therefore a curse has consumed the land, says Yeshayahu, and Malbim explains this curse that Yeshayahu mentions is a fulfillment of the words of Parshat Nitzavim that threaten destruction and exile for anyone who violates these laws. Vehivdilo Hashem Lira'a Mikol Shivtei Yisrael, Hashem will single them out from all the tribes of Israel for misfortune. God will separate any sinners from among the rest of the tribes. This sounds like a slam dunk for the Malbim and his approach to this perek as a nevuah about the 10 tribes. The Malbim interprets the beaten olive branch differently than the Abarbanel as well. Instead of the skimpy remains that the Abarbanel predicts for the nations of the world, the Malbim sees survivors, albeit a small number, of the exile of the 10 tribes. For those survivors, Pasuk Yudalid promises a salvation. Hema Yisu Kolam Yaronu Bigaon Hashem Tzahalu Miyam. These shall lift up their voices, rejoice in the majesty of Hashem. They shall shout from the sea. At the destruction of Assyria, these survivors will shout their praises of Hashem. Both Abarbanel and Malbim agree that the last eight psukim of the Perek are a separate nevuah, addressing the redemption of Bnei Yisrael and the punishment for the nations of the world who made us suffer. In Pasuk Tetzayin, Miknaf ha'aretz mirot shamanu tzvila tzadik va'amar razili razili oili bogdim bagadu uveged bogdim bagadu. From the end of the earth we hear singing, honor to the righteous. And I said, I have my secret, I have my secret. Woe to me. The faithless have acted faithlessly. The faithless have broken faith. Mitzudat David explains that when Mashiach comes, evil will be rooted out from one end of the earth to the other. And once evil has been punished, the righteous will be glorified and celebrated. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin tells the following story. The angel who supervises the world asks God to send Mashiach, and God responds, "It is my secret." In other words, I'm not ready to bring Mashiach. The Navi then asks, "Oy li, woe to me, but how long will this exile last?" And God responds with this pasuk, which Rava interprets to mean, "Redemption won't come until the faithless act faithlessly, until the looters and ravagers have looted and ravaged." Rashi suggests that there are five acts of treachery alluded to in this pasuk, which may refer to five empires that will oppress the Jewish people before Mashiach comes. The psukim describe the punishment God has in store for the Umot HaOlam, for the nations that have conquered us and caused us to suffer. The earth will tremble and crumble and sway as Hashem shows his anger at these empires. Then Yishayahu says, "V'haya bayom hahu yifkod Hashem al tzva ha-marom ba-marom ve'al malchei ha-adama al ha-adama." On that day Hashem will punish the heavenly host in heaven and the kings of the earth on earth. But why will Hashem punish the Tzava HaShamayim, his heavenly army, alongside the human kings on earth? Abarbanel explains that the coming of Mashiach will reveal to the world that God is the one and only true king. That will not only subdue human kings who rule on earth, but also the sun and the stars who have been worshipped by so many cultures. These kings, both human and heavenly, will lose their supposed power when it becomes clear to all that they should worship only Hashem, the Melech Malchei HaMlachim. Therefore, concludes Yeshayahu at the end of this perek, V'chafra halvana uvosha hachama, ki malach Hashem tzvakot bahar tzion uvirushalayim, v'neged zekenav kavod. Then the moon will be ashamed, and the sun will be embarrassed, because Hashem will reign on Har Tzion and in Yerushalayim, and his presence will be revealed to his elders. Abarbanel and Malbim explain this pasuk literally. The sun and moon themselves will be embarrassed, because they let the adoration of their worshippers go to their heads, and they forgot their creator. Ibn Ezra suggests that the sun and the moon are actually used here metaphorically to represent the kings of the world's greatest empires, who will be embarrassed when the true kingship of Hashem is ultimately established in Yemot HaMashiach. In either case, the pasuk and perek conclude, V'neged zekeinav kavod, that when Mashiach comes, those who have denied Hashem will be ashamed, but those who have remained loyal to Hashem, those who have always recognized his kingship, will be honored. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther Bat Zvi Yosef.